Welcome to the first podcast for ECCS 252, Introduction to Computer Engineering. This podcast summarizes the material we've covered in weeks 0 and 1 of this course, leading into the first midterm, which will be held on September 26th. We started the class with an introductory lecture that talked primarily about the compound growth and performance that we've experienced in computer systems, some of the reasons for that in terms of the underlying advancements in technology, and the resulting reductions in cost and improvements in performance that we've been able to realize that have led to more and more widespread applications that are now cost-effective for computers. We then move to Chapter 1 of the book, which basically has two big ideas. Primarily, these revolve around layers of abstraction that we use in computer systems to help divide and conquer the problems that we face trying to design such large and complex systems. The first big idea is the idea of a universal computing device, also sometimes called the universal Turing machine. This basically just describes the fact that all computers are essentially equivalent as long as they have the right fundamental set of properties and capabilities. They can solve all of the same problems. It might take them much longer. Might take a small low-power computer much longer to solve that problem than a large fast computer. But fundamentally, given enough memory and given enough time, they can both solve the same problems. The second big idea is really this notion of how we translate an application that we want to deploy on a computing application across all of these layers until we reach all the way down to the bottom where there's actually electrons moving around to perform the computation on our behalf. This is really the second big idea, is this notion that we translate the problem from a problem statement to an algorithmic statement to an actual expression as a computer program, which then gets translated to the machine language layer that the hardware can understand, which then translates it into a sequence of register transfers and low-level logic operations until fundamentally at the very lowest level, like I said earlier, we're just moving electrons around to solve the problem, and how these translations essentially enable us to solve seemingly very complex and difficult problems using these also seemingly very simple and primitive low-level building blocks. So that's basically Chapter 1. And then the second week of class we really spent on Chapter 2. The primary idea that we get, the big idea in Chapter 2, is the idea of a data type, which describes both the representation and the set of operations that we can apply to a particular abstract concept or idea that we want to store in our computer. Examples of the data types might be characters, text stored in strings, or what we spent most of the time talking about was numbers. We focused on numeric data types, including unsigned integers that use a weighted positional scheme similar to decimal numbers, but the digits are, of course, weighted with powers of 2, not powers of 10. We also talked about signed integers, how to represent both negative and positive numbers, and discussed briefly two poor ways to do it, both sign magnitude and 1's complement, and then spent most of the time talking about the right way or the best way, 2's complement, which is kind of a compromise between the intuitive appeal of the representation versus the ease of implementing the actual arithmetic algorithms and circuits that perform arithmetic on 2's complement numbers. We talked about the basic operations on these data types, how to convert to and from decimal. We talked about hexadecimal, which is a shorthand way of expressing binary numbers. And we talked about addition and subtraction via completing the number, complementing the number to be subtracted. Finally, we introduced the notion of logical operations, the NOT operation, which just inverts each bit, and the AND and OR operations, which allow us to combine logical bits either by ANDing them together, meaning if both inputs are true, the result will be true, or ORing them together, if either input is true, the output will be true. And then we also talked briefly about how to represent fractional quantities by using digit weights that are negative powers of 2, which is just like what we do to represent fractional quantities in the decimal system by having a column for tenths, hundredths, one thousandths, and so on. And in binary, instead, we have, to the right of the radix point, we have a column for 2 to the minus 1 or 1 half, and then 2 to the minus 2 or 1 fourth, 2 to the minus 3 or 1 eighth, and so on. And then finally, we discussed the IEEE 754 32-bit floating-point format, which uses three components, a sign bit, an 8-bit exponent expressed as an XS127 or BIAS217 format, and a 23-bit fraction that allows us to represent a very large range of numeric values with the abilities to represent both very small numbers and very large numbers, but again with limited precision. That's limited essentially by the fact that we only have 23 bits in the fraction. So that is a brief topical summary of the material we've covered to date in this course. Just a reminder that homework 2 is due on Friday, September 19th at the beginning of lecture, so don't forget about that. And our first midterm will be 1 week after that on September 26th. We will have a review session on September 24th, Wednesday, during lecture to prepare for that midterm. The scope of the midterm will be the material mentioned in this podcast, essentially chapters 1 and 2 of this course. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.